Good morning. The first reading is from the book of Psalms 131, the first three verses. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters, or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. A reading of the word.
Thanks be to God. And somewhat of a companion piece to that, words from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church that he loved the most, the church in Philippi. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Oh God, we are loved beyond what we could ever know. We are blessed beyond what we could ever measure. Open our hearts and minds to the fullness of your gifts, your blessing and goodness, as your word goes forth this day. Amen. Peggy read the Psalm this morning, 131. It's maybe the shortest. It's only three verses. But how sweet those words. The psalmist helps us to see how deeply he has placed his trust in God. And because of that, he can write, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I have stilled and quieted my soul. And then in another translation, I am content and at peace as a child in its mother's arms, quiet and at peace. What a sweet psalm. What a marvelous picture of what it means to be enveloped and held, never to be let go, in this love that created the universe and all that is, has come to each of us and has wrapped itself around our lives in such a beautiful and marvelous sweet way. I am at peace. I am content because I am enveloped in this gift. What amazing, what sweet words. That theme, that theme of being enveloped and held and loved in such a marvelous way is in so many of our hymns, if you pay attention to the words that we sing in our hymns, it's there. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. And every change, he faithful will remain. This is at the core. This is at the center of the amazing gifts and blessings that are ours because of God's marvelous, great, and unyielding and unending love. And the good news, of course, is that we don't have to achieve anything. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to prove. We don't have to accomplish. This is grace. This is what God offers as free gift to us. So there's no struggle here. There's no saying, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not good enough, I haven't done enough. This is God's grace at work in every life. Comes to us freely given and offered to everyone. How sweet, how wonderful such things are. Of course, we have to struggle in that to keep and not to be led astray and pulled away from that. In the fourth century, the church of the fourth century made a list of various things that could rob us and take from us such gifts. And one of the words that they used for one of the things that could take away and steal away from us such beautiful gift is the word vainglory. We don't use that word very often. I've never heard it much used. The King James Bible uses the word vainglory, but none of the later translations use that word. Vainglory is a word that means empty glory. Vainglory is excessive needs of ours to possess, to take, to hold, to control, to be praised, to be lifted up, to be feted, to be made over. But on the other hand, we do need to be made over. I mean, there is a legitimate need that all of us have to be liked, to be wanted, to be accepted. There is a place for all of that. We all need to hear words. The job is finished and we couldn't have done it without you. We like to hear somebody say something like that to us once in a while. You really were important to this and you are appreciated because of your contribution made it happen. We like to hear that said once in a while to us. We like to hear once in a while someone say to us, you know, you're the best, whatever it is that we're best at. We like to hear such words. Had a person, a young man in my first church, and he owned his own small company. And when it came time for payday, for the paychecks to be given, He went individually, in person, to every person on the payroll, and he handed the check into their hands. And he held it there as they took it. And he said, "Thank you." He wanted me to understand, and how appropriately so, that the thank you wasn't meant to come from them. Thank you for giving me the check. No, it was just the opposite. Thank you for being a part of our work together. You make a difference. You make it happen. Thank you for what you do. We like words like that, don't we? We like to hear words. When I take my wife shopping at the supermarket, I told you she's the worst driver in the world. I don't know if I told you that. Don't, if you see her behind the wheel, just pull over. So I do most of the driving. I take her to the supermarket, and she opens the door, and she begins to go in to do the shopping, and every time, I say the same thing to her. Make somebody's day. And then when she gets back in to the car with the groceries, I say, "Did you make somebody's day today?" And often she will tell me a story. Somebody had a beautiful smile. Somebody went out of the way to help her find something. Some story of her saying the words, "Make somebody's day today." Vainglory is when, instead of wanting to give away, we want to be takers. We want not only to be special, but we want to be special in ways that leave other people out. We want to hog. We want to keep. We want to be the most important person in the room. Jonas Salk, the one that we give credit to conquering polio, it's reportedly, whether this is true or not, it's reportedly said of him that he never gave away any of the glory and the thank you and the recognition to all of those people who were working with him, and without which polio would never have been eradicated. All the work that they did, it is reported that Jonas Salk took all of the glory upon himself. That's what the Bible would call vainglory. Or maybe you've been at a dinner party in which you sat down with the host or hostess and whoever was gathered, and the host spent the whole evening talking about himself. How great his wine cellar was. How magnificent the wine that he had collected through the year. The trees around his house, and how wonderful what a blessing they were, and how beautiful. And his lineage. Why, his family went all the way back to the Mayflower, and on and on and on. We call that, if we have a word for it, vainglory. Someone who wants all of the attention and wants all of the applause, and for which other people are just instruments for his own agenda. I don't know if you know the fairy tale, The Emperor's New Clothes. It's actually a fairy tale that adults like, maybe more than children. Hans Christian Andersen wrote it many, many years ago. there's a particular point of it where a line that most people like to quote in the middle of the fairy tale, but the beginning and the ending of the fairy tale have very important parts not to be missed. In the story of the emperor's new clothes, we are greeted with a king whose only interest in the world is his appearance, his clothes, that he would change clothes every hour. He was always calling for a new suit of clothes, always in front of the mirror, that he never gave a thought to his people. It was all about himself. And one day, a couple flim-flam artists show up, and they offer to make the emperor, the king, a very special set of clothes. The thing that makes these clothes special, they explained, was that anyone who is stupid or unfit for office would not be able to see the clothes. But if you were wise and strong and you had eyes to see, you would be able to see the clothes and you would see how beautiful they were. And so the two flim-flam artists, they went to work to make these non-clothes. They pretended they were at work. And after a while, they presented the new clothes to the emperor and they dressed him up in his non-clothes. And all of the royal court said, magnificent, unsurpassed, which made the king so very happy. And then the day came for a procession through the streets of the city. And he was dressed in his non-clothes. And the procession went through the streets. And all of the people said, oh, magnificent. Don't his clothes fit him perfectly? Until a child finally said, but he doesn't have anything on. Which broke the spell. And everyone then was able to say, he ain't got nothing on. And the king then realized that he didn't have anything on but his birthday suit. But he then said to himself, this is the last part, he said to himself, but the procession must go on. And the fairy tale ends by saying, and he marched on more proudly than before. See, there was nothing else to the king. He didn't have anything else. His whole nature was wrapped up in self-glorification. And he couldn't extricate. He couldn't release himself from his own lies and from his own need to be the most important one. Maybe those people in the fourth century had something. Vainglory is a thief and a robber. What we are called for, what we are called to be, is people who live in the gift. We are accepted and loved, and we can never be left out. We can never be left behind. because we are held. And the only image that we ever have to be worried about, we never have to be worried about our image. The only image we ever have to care about is the image of God placed in every life. And our task and gift and honor is to let the image of God be shown and known. Johann Sebastian Bach and George Frideric Handel, two people who gave us some of the greatest music the world has ever known, would often write at the end of their composition, particularly if it was a sacred composition, both of them, they would write the initials SDG. Soli Deo Gloria. Glory of God alone. Write that down in your mind. And when you get up in the morning, write upon your life, this is to be my life today, to the glory of God alone. And when you put your head gently on the pillow at the end of the day, write upon your heart once again, to the glory of God alone. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for placing in our lives your breath and for fashioning us in your image. Help us to live each day, each breath, each moment to your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.